You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Black Men Podcast. That's right. You want to be heard in the black man's world? Simple, they're complicated. Just relax and observe. Breaking down of our families, restructuring communities. To wake up and see, only your losers are free. Your enemy is your memory. We at your door, black male delivery. Your enemy is your memory. We at your door.
Oh, you use
they're
good AI
for me. They're okay with the facial features on the first row.
Okay.
If you do an update, oh yeah, your face is going to be crazy. I heard Delph say something about ChatGPT not being able to do covers. I didn't even respond. I ain't giving you the sauce.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Don't give him nothing. Give him nothing.
Can't give you the sauce, Jack.
Don't figure it
figure
out.
Figure it out. A word. It can't do faces. Word. Okay.
Go break some bread. You in Atlanta?
No, nah, don't even break bread. I don't want nothing.
No. Yo, you see, I named the this episode after I had saw what your what the pat what at the
no,
at
see.
The thing and the what your pops will always say. He said time order and what was it? It was time order and decent or something like that.
Was it decent or descent?
Descent. That's what it was. Yeah, right.
I can't remember.
I know it's time order and something.
Yeah, that guy's good. I told my niece. I don't want to go to this church because he's going to make me a deacon.
Okay, I did right. I wrote decent. Yeah. And now both of us end up being a damn deacon.
She said, why not? Why not? I said, hey, as long as you cool with me being a deacon with my bullshit, that'd be my name, deacon on that bullshit. I'd be him. I'm a new age deacon.
What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? You're now tuned into the Black Male Podcast. TS is who I am.
Chick, that is who I am. And I just got snuck attacked. It's not even a word. I made it up. I got snuck attacked.
You're going to learn. Fly,
I don't say that out of pocket anyway. I stand by what I say.
On the road to victory.
Hold on. I got some Eagle colors coming. But I never wore cowboy colors as a cowboy fan, so I don't have to wear Eagle colors.
No, you don't.
But I'm officially gone.
Hit them low.
I was already gone, high. But now I'm officially gone.
Yep.
I will not be a Packers
this
fan.
This week, it's regular season.
Is it?
Yes, it is. And the
football
Eagles play Thursday.
Fast,
Eagles play Thursday against the Dallas Cowboys. First game of the season.
So it is so fitting.
And we doing our ring ceremony and all that shit.
And it's so fitting for me to be an Eagle fan right now. It's perfect.
I'm so happy, man, about football season because I'm not a baseball guy. And I watched a good bit of WNBA this year, more than what I've normally watched.
I'm still a fan
over
the
couple of years.
But it can't overtake football.
Right. Man, football season is back. You say it's fast. It actually ain't that fast.
It just felt like it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe, no, it made it go fast, being a fan of the W and actually watching the games.
Right.
Not with the same ferocity as what we really like.
Right.
But watching it kind of, it pacified the break time.
It did. Paige Beckett's.
Paige Beckers, yeah.
You nice, girl.
Phenomenon.
Nice.
No, but I'm going to say what I like.
Your team trash, but you nice.
Well, check it, though. What if they get the number one pick? And her and Juju on the same team.
And they best friends. And they close friends.
I had somebody tell me.
And
nah,
they close friends.
Nah, they supposed to play against each other. I said, no.
No.
Let's try something different.
Yeah, for a change.
Think about the marketing capabilities. I'm not even talking about their talent. I'm talking about their personalities.
Yep.
They're both great with kids.
Yep.
They both stay out of trouble.
Yep.
Neither one is out here doing thotty stuff.
Nope. And they friends. They friends. Man. They like good friends.
Think about them on the court though.
Like, they ain't that crazy that they like good friends. Like, grew up together.
But see, Paige don't need the ball.
Nope.
I want to say
her and Juju.
I'm running, fighting for that.
Her and Juju running on the wing.
I'm fighting
with
for
a decent point guard.
Paige and Juju on the same team. I'm with it.
ISO on the right or ISO on the left is gonna be dangerous.
Put them at the 2 and the 3.
Yup. That's what I'm saying. ISO on the left, ISO on the right gonna be crazy.
Oh, girl, Enrique gonna get traded though.
Yeah, yeah. Talking big girl.
No, the girl that shoot all the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's fine.
I've been said that. Yeah, I was fine. Like, yo, they're going to have to trade her.
Yeah, you gotta open the floor.
They're like, why? She's nice. I said, bro, if Juju come out of USC to that team, she's an afterthought.
Yep. Got to move her.
That's the rules of the game.
She'll be fine.
Rules of engagement.
Yep. That's how it go in all
she's
sports.
She's not going to be out the league.
Nah. Not at all.
Hey, make it happen.
Yo, I say this, bro. You did good with these topics and shit.
You know what happened? Let me tell you something,
was on
man.
A roll. You ain't never been on a roll like
nah,
that.
Nah. What happened was, you know, management got me back on schedule, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, recorded a song this morning.
Right.
Just recorded last
we
night.
We damn sure ain't doing all these topics.
No. Oh, okay. You got to. Right. You got to have a Rolodex of selections, man.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
I saw that shit. I said,
some of those,
but
see, some of those topics are timeless.
That's true.
Depends on the topic.
Yeah.
Only
yeah.
topics that aren't timeless.
It's sports.
And y'all listening, but this is how we do. It's part of the podcast. The podcast, you're walking into our life.
Yeah.
But you the only kind of topics that aren't timeless are sports.
Yep.
Unless it's a generic sports. Sports and music.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to
sometimes. Some joints and music.
I'm gonna reiterate something my partner talked about last podcast. Say, shout out to Mass Appeal, man.
Yeah, bro.
Again.
Bro.
Shout out to Mass Appeal.
Bro, we got no choice. I've been trying to find...
No, but I'm saying that because I have some people that don't appreciate...
I don't care about
what we're appreciating.
I'm right now trying to lock in an interview for us with someone at Mass Appeal. You know, of course, it's not going to be Nas, but it's someone that's in an exec. So we might.
I'd like to talk to somebody behind the scenes.
We might have to go to New York and sit in the office and have that conversation. But I think.
No, that'll be the Mass time Appeal, when we go up there and shoot the video. It works.
Mass Appeal needs to be highlighted for the work that they are doing.
Yeah.
That shit is phenomenal.
I'm shouting them out,
bro.
I'm shouting them out.
It's phenomenal.
Mass Appeal.
For artists of an age group. Of a yesteryear that's still phenomenal. Yo, that Ghostface Supreme Clientele, only thing I had an issue with was naming the project Supreme Clientele, but you said something to me that made sense, so I took that issue away. That project is dope.
But from another perspective, people are getting to know Ghostface for the first time.
Right.
He's on everybody's podcast.
That's another thing that Mass Appeal is doing well with. It's making them resonate. But no, it's not even that he's on everybody's podcast. He's on the podcast that makes sense. When he went to Ebro and them in the morning, which was dope. Then you swing around and you go to Jadakiss and Fat Joe.
Get my grown man position.
He actually did an interview with Joe Budden.
But he did
them.
Well.
That's about to drop. They did an interview with Joe Budden them on their podcast.
I didn't care for the Fat
That's
Joe
gonna
that
be
much.
Dope. I thought it was good.
He ain't let Ghost talk, man.
I get it.
Let Ghost spit his bars, man.
Then you swing around and hit Nori and them.
I didn't see Nori and them.
Yes, drop it soon.
Okay.
Yep.
I didn't see that.
Like, yo, I love that.
I want him to step to Bleak, though.
That'd be crazy.
I like Bleak. I like
yo,
Bleak platform.
Look how you... Bleak doing his thing, bro.
I like Bleak platform. I do. Shout out to Bleak. I love
Bleak
it.
Doing his thing.
I love it. I like seeing it because nobody was
I
ready
like
for
seeing
it.
Bleak like on Cam'ron's show talking.
I like Bleak personality. I like it. I like it.
Yo, when him talking
hip-hop
on Cam's
period.
Show was
I love
fire.
When you, any artist, I love when you can show your personality and actually flourish because you all have something different to bring.
Right.
I think Bleak is doing well.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I like his bar.
And he's unfiltered. He don't care. He just say what it, yo, when Cam said, yo, when they named me president, and you know what I mean, I don't know how everybody feel, but what did everybody feel? He said, that was the beginning of the end.
He just said, the band.
He kept it. He said, that was it right there.
We ain't like that shit.
Yeah. I was like, okay.
Not even mad at you, nigga. We ain't like that shit. Like,
and that's what he said. He said it wasn't about you. He was like, just Dame doing too much.
Yeah,
and I was
like, we had it. We supposed to have been a dynasty.
Yo, I love
for real.
That shit,
in life, you should have been a dynasty. Look at the roster they had.
Yeah, the best roster.
They B list was crazy.
Yes. They had the best roster in hip hop. They had the best, even in R&B, dog. Ooh. They had Tierra Marie.
Best and roster?
I think they had the best collective of artists in hip hop.
Best roster in the 2000s?
Yes.
Who had the best roster in the 90s?
In the 90s?
We probably need time to go over that.
Yeah,
he ain't gonna answer that.
They ain't going
to
be able to answer that.
We'll use that for a topic maybe later on.
But they going to be underrated. They going to be underrated like a motherfucker. But Boot Camp Click. if they could have got everybody all on the same page. In the 90s, they was killing it with the Crooklyn soundtrack, a bunch of the different projects they dropped. The Smith & Wesson first project was crazy. Helter Skelter first project was crazy.
Okay. I got a response to that
when you finish. When they did the Boot Camp Click compilation project, that shit was crazy. When they was on the Crooklyn soundtrack, that Crooklyn shit was crazy.
You know what I think Boot Camp was?
What?
I think that was the click that got the most out of the less.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
They made the most out of
it. They made the most out of it. Yep. Because they had some niggas that probably should not be rapping.
They didn't have the, they never had the big budget.
Nope.
They never had the big marketing dollars, but they always made the most.
Bro.
And I'm not surprised about it because I met Buckshot years ago at a conference. And I remember he was giving his marketing tactics back then. This is before the internet even made sense.
Right.
And of course that shows my age because my age shows.
Yeah.
But he was speaking of how they made like model vans.
Mm-hmm.
That they were pushing with their product, and they were really, they had everything, and he was talking about the different merch and different levels and all of that. Boot Camp from the grassroots with Nervous Records always had their mind on promo materials.
Yep.
Buck and Drew High always had before other artists was even talking about that shit.
Probably
got laughed at for it.
Nah, they was the best with the street team stuff. Their street team shit was crazy. I remember seeing them in Atlanta with their street team was crazy. Once again, I'm showing my age as well.
Guerrilla Marketing.
Around, they Guerrilla
the
Marketing
best at Guerrilla Marketing.
In Miami, they had some fire marketing. That's when I was in the labels moving around. And they were doing that shit in the early 2000s like crazy.
Yeah, but who was better?
Nah, I don't think.
You might know somebody on that level, but I don't think you can name nobody better at marketing and taking stuff from the grassroots. They are the definition of the value of putting together a team.
Yeah. Yeah. Dog, that LaFleur.
Because that tag team of Buckshot and Drew High leading the force. Yeah.
And they still together. They all still around together. Drew High and Buckshot still.
Why wouldn't you be?
Yeah.
The team is dominant, man.
I agree. Then we went off on a hip-hop random chat.
It was necessary. That was necessary.
I think so. Yeah, I agree. Let's jump it right into sports, man. Let's talk about some sports, man. What NBA player do you predict to be great that ended up a bust? And what player did others assume to be great that you predicted to be a bust and was a bust? When I read that question, it was a fully loaded question. Because I try not to predict players to be a bust. But I'm going to be honest. I knew Zion was not going to be what everybody thought he was going to be. And I always try to shoot the young brother some bail. One, because he's from South Carolina, and I try to always give love to anybody from South Carolina.
Comments going to attack you.
and I don't care.
They don't listen to
no, they don't.
The answer.
No, but he is. We know what he can be. His ceiling
doesn't matter.
And what he is right now is not the same.
40, 50 games a season, you're a bust.
Yep.
You're a bust.
He spent more time fucking these Instagram thoughts than he did working on making sure he lose the weight and keep the weight off and keep making sure he off. That's going to help with the injury on his knees. As someone that also, when I played, was a high flyer, I did not take my workout serious, and then I blew both knees, and I could have been. He's someone that made it and just, you made it and still don't work on your physical setup.
Should have been the first battle Hall of Famer, first battle Hall of Fame talent.
Yo, he's shorter than me. I'm 6'6". Zion is really 6'4", maybe 6'5".
So
maybe
Barkley.
6'5".
Barkley.
Yep. I've seen the boy in person. He was right here at Duke. I've seen him in person. We've been to courts before. The boy ain't that tall. But he has a skill set that could be utilized. He's not a bad dribbler. He has a wonky left-hand shot, but it's not bad. If he goes to the cup, he got heart, he got everything. But his skill set is not living up to his body and his mental. His mental is bad. So for me, it was Zion in today's time. I'm thinking Zion.
Okay.
Yeah, today's time. That's when it comes to, breaking down. But a player that I thought was going to be a bust and not a bust, I can't think of any.
I'll give you a name out of Duke.
Uh-huh.
Lottery pick, Jahlil Okafor.
Oh shit, I forgot about you.
I told my son.
Damn, bro.
I said he's gonna be nothing. And he asked me why. I said, on my GM cap, he has a low point of has a low release point.
Yeah, he does.
He's gonna get a shot blocked all the time in the paint, right? And at the time my son was just listening. He didn't really say nothing. when he went pro, there's a problem. He couldn't get his shot off.
He definitely couldn't
get his shot off. Low release point, and he had no perimeter game. So all he had was post moves, but he couldn't get his shot off. Now he's overseas somewhere, and now he's developed a three. He's developed a handle, but I don't know if anybody cares anymore because yeah. I think he's at least in his 30s.
Yeah, he's up there now.
Yeah, so I predicted that. Not that I predicted him to fail, but I knew if he couldn't do something about his low release point and at least get a perimeter game to throw the defense off, he was going to fail. And he did.
Yeah, you're right. How long he played in the league?
He was in the league at least five years. Yeah, but he just wasn't successful because he's only 6'9".
Because in Duke, he went to work.
Well, he can get away with it in college.
Yep, college versus a pro.
But against teams with legitimate big men, he was getting his shot blocked a lot in the paint.
People don't realize college ball is team ball. All that step back, dribble, dribble, step back. You can't do that in college. NBA, you got to work on you. Because, we can talk shit about any other players on the bench.
Yeah.
Niggas is nice.
I'm going to give you an NBA name for anyone that watches the show that's younger than us.
Uh-huh.
Harold Miner.
Yep.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
He didn't have a perimeter game, and I knew that. I didn't think it would have mattered. Right. I really thought he had enough mid-range to at least be a 18-point-a-game scorer because of his ability to just be dominant in transition.
Right.
His athleticism was so superior, I thought he would overcome those.
Mm-hmm.
But now, he's hard to find. Even when you Google him, you don't see him speaking.
No.
He never speaks about what happened in the league and how he didn't really perform or didn't make it. But he's somebody I really thought would have went somewhere. I don't think it was a Michael Beasley situation. I know that's a common name to use, Michael Beasley, but I say Harold Miner.
I get it.
I say Harold Miner.
Was Michael Beasley a bust? Or was he a product of his environment, of the people he had around?
I think Michael Beasley was a product of himself.
Right. I'm going to say environment, the people around him. When he broke down how everybody was stealing from him.
I hear you. The worst
parents,
environment of Michael
his mom,
Beasley.
His people, and then his accountant.
I agree with all of that. But the worst environment of Michael Beasley is his own brain.
I agree.
And I'm probably just being over analytical. Now, I'm not disagreeing with him. That's not what I'm doing. But I'm saying his, because if you listen to him.
Yeah.
That brain is highly functional.
Yes.
Because he breaks down a lot of information.
The problem is he probably
very eloquently.
He probably overthinks.
He overthinks everything except basketball.
Yes. Boy, phenomenal player.
You know what I'm saying? So, One more name in basketball. I got to throw out there. Anybody that was a fan of the Big East back in the days, Victor Page.
Oh, shit.
Ruined his own career because he wouldn't let go of that street shit.
Yep, I remember Victor Page.
Backcourt with Allen Iverson.
Yep. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Victor Page should have been an all-star. Perennial all-star. Left-handed, bucket, bounce.
You know who else is about to be out the league if they don't come this year? A different person?
Let me hear it.
John Morant.
I don't know about that. Out the league? You think they're going to make an example out of him like O.J. Mayo?
I think they're going to try to make an example out of him.
This would be extreme.
O.J.
Mayo never made it to the all-star level, so people forgot.
But think about all the stuff that was handed to Ja. He has one of the hottest selling shoes right now. Them shoes look fire. Some of the hottest selling shoes. Look what's been handed to him. And that team is crumbling as we speak. They're getting rid of everybody. People are gone. Coach is gone. Other players are gone. They handed him the keys. And what he do? Yes. What he's doing is minuscule. Gun showing that little rusty-ass pistol. But this, you in Memphis. One of the highest crime rate, bro. You know how the NBA is, bro. The NBA will make an example out of you. They will make an example out of you, bro. What's old boy that, and I'm going far back, who was with the Bulls, who wore the dashiki and shit to the White House, who wouldn't back in the day, would not stand for the national anthem, who just stand there and prayed.
Mahmoud.
Bro, look what happened to his career. He was someone that was dead nice. And we going that far.
He wasn't an all-star though. He didn't have his own shoe.
He could have been.
No, I'm not saying he didn't have the talent, but
in that era, a lot of people didn't have their own shoes. You know that. That wasn't what it is today.
Okay, I'm just giving the on paper argument.
I get you.
The on paper argument would be that, and he wasn't the franchise player on his team.
Right.
Now, talent wise, he was Steph before Steph.
Yes.
Without the excessive three pointers.
Right.
And not because
and,
he couldn't
and
shoot.
And he dropped them.
But that wasn't part of the game. Now, if that was part of the game, today's game, I think he would be.
And you remember, he was a 3-point contest winner multiple times, multiple years.
But they just didn't. Right. They just didn't shoot those shots back then.
Knocked down.
Okay, Mahmoud. He definitely got blackballed out the league.
Got blackballed. We can go.
Amazing story too. They got a great documentary on him.
Yes, but go ahead. We can go in. We can almost go in this era. You know, well, not probably this particular era. Early 2000s, maybe. I'm trying to think. I got his face. I picture his face, but it's just hard. That bus word is something hard. When they talk about Kwame Brown, I had a feeling Kwame Brown wasn't gonna be shit. I'm from South Carolina.
I don't think anybody really expected him to be Kwame Brown, great.
Kwame Brown was the first person to ever dunk on me, though.
I
played against
Anthony Bennett.
Yeah,
were victims of being drafted where they shouldn't have been drafted in the first place.
Yep, Anthony Bennett definitely should have.
Now Kwame, I give a pass because there was a time when everyone was trying to be a genius and draft a young nigga out of high school.
Yep.
Anthony Bennett played in college and was mid.
Mid at college, yep.
Nobody even had him for the top 20.
Yep. Kwame Brown did play at least, 10 years in the league?
He had a good career.
Yeah, 10, 11 years in the career in the league. I don't know. I ain't fact checking it.
He's going to get a pension.
I'm done with all that fact checking. He's already getting a pension.
But I'm saying he played long enough to get a pension.
Yeah, he's been in the league long enough.
Fact checking Kwame Brown is diabolical.
I'm done with all that.
You're not going to find nothing. Don't even waste your Google. Don't waste your Google, yo.
Don't waste your Google. All right, next one, man. Would a prime Shaq dominate in today's NBA or would spacing expose him? Shaq dominated any era.
Which Shaq you speaking on?
You said prime Shaq. What's prime Shaq do? I think it's two primes.
That's
Shaq.
My point.
Orlando Shaq
would be hell today.
Yes. He will kill in his dominant.
Lakers Shaq would be sleepy and tired. He'd be bored.
Because he'd still be dominant.
I think he would be bored.
He still would be dominant. That's why he'd be bored.
Would the team allow him to be dominant, though? Because you got to give him the ball in the paint. Some of these teams don't even look down low ever. Even the ball movement is just perimeter based.
When you got a player like Shaq, we think about this.
And I'm just wondering how
it
would look.
I'm just wondering how it would look. This is bad. I'm not a fan of dude, but Joker. You say they don't throw in the paint. Joker gets it in the paint. Because he's dominant in his position, he's able to do things that no other big man is able to do.
But Joker shoots threes.
That's because.
He doesn't get the ball in the paint all the time.
But because he added that dimension. He didn't always shoot threes, but he added that dimension. And he's from Europe. The European players, they just do some things there.
Shaq maybe could have done that?
Yes.
You think he would have developed a jumper?
Yeah, because he's playing in this time frame.
I mean, I can't say he wouldn't. I'm just wondering how that would look.
Especially Orlando Shaq. Orlando Shaq dribbled the ball from one end of the court to the other end of the court.
Orlando Shaq was coast to coast.
And broke you down.
Yeah, okay.
Tween, dunk.
Yeah. I'm not saying Shaq.
He had mid-range.
Curiosity. I'm just wondering.
And what did KD say? When you a great player, most of us shoot mid-range. Everybody else shoot threes.
I think Joker against Shaq in the NBA Finals would be
crazy.
Very entertaining.
Crazy.
Very entertaining.
Yo, I don't like Joel Embiid saying he the best center ever. He can get the
I say this to old brothers.
Get the fuck out of here.
Shaq against Joker in the NBA Finals, I don't think it would be in Shaq's favor as much as people really think.
I agree. Because of the three-point element.
And I'm not even saying Joker's better than Shaq. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, in a game, a 7-game series, he is not just going to murder Joker to where Joker looks bad. Joker does things Shaq don't do. Shaq does things very well that Joker has no idea of. But Joker's not a great defender.
But to me, that's where the cancel out is.
It'll be fun to watch. It'll be great to watch.
Right.
Because he's going to have to play defense on the perimeter.
Joker
is so slow,
right.
He throws you off defensively because you're taught to slide.
I was just about to say
and
that.
Beat your man to the spot.
Yep.
Joker is so slow, you're going to foul out.
Joker going to use his second and third move because Shaq, off the first move, he's blocking that. He's going to get that off of you. Joker going to have to use a spin to the left, spin to the right, pump fake, and then slide in. That's where the fouls are going to happen for Shaq.
He I would do that on 2K all day.
All day long.
That would be so much fun.
Slide in.
That would be so much fun watching them, man.
Yo.
It's a chess match. Yo.
It is. It would be definitely a big chess match.
Dope. I like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, once again, that's a hard one. I love Shaq, though. Shaq was, we never seen nobody like him. Bro, he was top 50, what, his second year in the league.
I would have loved to see Shaq against Will Chamberlain. Because Will Chamberlain talked too much, bro. He just felt like nobody could touch him. But in his day, he had a right to say that.
He did. He definitely did. All right, we're still in sports. We can probably do one more in sports, and then we're going to switch to some other stuff. Which player is the most disrespected legend? Yeah, I'm glad we're doing this. T-Mac, Vince Carter, or Grant Hill? The most disrespected legend right now, I believe, to me, is Vince Carter.
Vince Carter.
I think he's probably the most disrespected. We don't hear a lot of disrespect.
Only reason why I would say Grant Hill, because a lot of people don't remember Grant Hill, Pistons Grant Hill.
But I'm just saying, we don't hear a lot of shit talking about him. Like, when they bring up Grant Hill, they do bring up the fact that he was injured because they remember him from Orlando. But if you remember him in the Suns, he actually played damn good with the Suns once he left Orlando, because the Suns had that treatment plan. It was different. Pistons, and I'm a Detroit Pistons guy. Pistons, Grant Hill was, yeah, he was expected to be, I mean, that's when they started he was one of the players they started throwing around the Jordan tag on. If you remember, it was like, oh, he's the Jordan of, you know what I mean? They started throwing that Jordan tag like they do for everybody now. He was one of the first, if not the first player that threw the Jordan tag. And every time he played the Bulls, he gave Scottie Pippen fits.
But the fact that he reinvented himself is crazy.
Crazy.
That's crazy. Still reinvented yourself.
Yep. When he went to the Suns, bro. Once he got off the injuries and got his body somewhat together, he still dunked well, but he mid-range, three-point. You can't stop him from handling the ball. The boy was, what, 6'7", 6'8".
Imagine how tough that is mentally, though. Just change your game around.
I say Vince Carter because of this. When they made it seem like he only did well with the Raptors. And it's only because of that bullshit-ass coach.
He killed with the Nets.
All because of that bullshit-ass coach that was with the Raptors. They forget. When he was with the Nets, he destroyed.
He was dominant.
Bro, they went to the finals. Yeah. because of him, he was going crazy with the Nets.
They had to ask him to retire because they knew he would make the team again.
Thank you.
Like, please, come on,
just
bro.
Go home, bro.
I can't cut you because you're good.
Go home.
But, yeah.
Bro, when he was with the Atlanta them last year, he was still moving like he was, like, I was like, Vince, take your old ass and go to the crib.
If Jeff Teague was like, come on, bro, let somebody else play. Like, you're mad to come out the game. Like, you're like 40, you're like 55, and you don't want to come out the game. Like, sit down. Because
he played what, 20 years, 21 years?
Yeah, man.
He played a minute.
His card is great.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, and he was good for a long time. He could shoot the three. He could shoot mid-range. You could not fuck with him if he went to the basket. He was not a slouch on defense. His help defense was good. His on-ball defense wasn't bad.
I didn't think you could fuck with him. I didn't think you would have said Vince Carter.
I'm not going to say T-Mac. You know why I'm not going to say T-Mac? Because T-Mac says that shit for himself all the time. He gets on my nerves, bro.
Yeah, like, he just
like, the fuck out of here,
T-Mac. I just thought you would have said Grant Hill because of Detroit.
Because of Pittsburgh. Nah, man. I don't think Grant Hill... When you see Grant Hill today and you think about Grant Hill, you see him as an executive. He as executive of the USA team. You see him, he got ownership in teams. You see him around the league. You see him with that stature of, yo, he's the man. You know what I'm saying? He was or once the man when you see Grant Hill. So, and then when you throw up highlights of Grant Hill, when you type in highlights of Grant Hill, it's Pistons. And he's going crazy.
In comparison, let me ask you a question, though. Mm-hmm. The totality of a career in the game of basketball, who compares to that? Think about it. The player.
Yeah.
The executive.
Uh-huh.
The analyst.
Yeah.
All of that.
All of it. Nobody.
Who else has done that? All encompassing. That is amazing, man.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I sat there looking at this one time.
I didn't think about
that. And he has the greatest... personality of, I wouldn't think he has a dime.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's
married to Tamia.
Yep. Rich as shit. And they've been married for a long time.
And they on YouTube dancing, doing the little Tamia.
Because it's a black male podcast, he married to a black woman as an NBA player.
A gorgeous one.
Yep.
That also has a nice personality, and you never hear a bad word about it.
And had a good career as a singer.
Shane, come on, Shane.
Hit records.
Let's shout out Glenn.
Hit Grammy records.
As much as y'all beat up on Will Smith, man, applaud Grant Hill for doing it big for the light skin.
Yeah.
Ones,
yeah, gotta give it to him. Shit.
Yeah, man. Gotta give it to him, man.
Gotta give it to him.
Yo, shout out Grant Hill.
Yeah,
man.
Shout out to Grant Hill.
And he went to Duke, and I don't even like Duke.
I don't like nothing about Duke, man. Let's go into a music conversation real quick. I got two music. We got one here, then I got another one, and the one I'm going to say it's gonna be some bullshit, but we'll get to it. All right, fuck it. I'm gonna start with that one. So yesterday, made a call, right? Listen to Rock the Bells Radio.
Rock the Bells Radio.
I love it. Song came on. Run DMC. CL Smooth and Pete Rock.
Down with the King.
Down with the King. They could have took Run DMC and them off that record.
I'm not doing that shit, man.
Yo, DMC was ass on that record, bro, coming after CL. That was not it, son. That was not it.
I'm not participating in it. I'm not. That song is on my playlist.
And you know I'm right.
Down with you the know King.
Dog, that beat was hard, bro.
A friend of mine.
What? CL killed that.
Yo, CL smoked that shit.
Yeah.
CL smoked it. Pete Rock smoked it because he was the last verse on the record.
That's what I'm going to say.
He was the last verse on that
CL
record.
CL killed.
DMC was in between CL and Pete Rock, and I was like, why he on here? Why he on here? Run first six bars was fire, and then it fell off.
Run didn't write his rap, though.
I don't care.
DMC something not like a hole from a slow jam. Check it. I was like,
what we doing, bro? What are we doing?
What are you saying?
Bro, I listened to that record on fucking Rock the Bells Radio. I cut the radio off and put it on my phone and listened to that song again. Erica looking at me, we driving. She let me, what were you doing? I just got here one more time because I'm about to say some bullshit on the podcast.
But these are legendary figures in hip hop, but nobody's running around acting like lyrically they were masterminds.
I get it. They shouldn't have been on that song.
I just can't believe you just brought up.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need.
One particular record.
That beat was hard. That beat was hard, bro.
But it brought Run DMC back to the forefront for that small period of time.
Very small period.
So it was successful for what it was meant to be.
I get what it was doing. I understand it.
I'm just not.
I love the fact you defended it.
I am not participating in this Run DMC slander.
I knew you would have defended it.
Yeah.
I know that's your queen shit. I get it. Them just niggas like, should have been on that record,
just
bro.
Like I defended LL for wearing those flare sweatpants in that video with Eminem.
Yes, he did. Now, a lot of these kids wearing flare sweatpants.
I know it. I just
my son got a few pairs of them joints.
Okay. Your son. Your son isn't 50-something.
I get it.
And an icon.
All right, man. I'm done. That was my moment. Huh?
How many flare sweats you got?
I ain't got none of them. I ain't doing that.
Yeah, it's a reason, right?
Yeah, that shit ain't for me.
Hey.
Right. For me.
When Ghostface said he got some skinny jeans, somebody to help him put on, I was like,
yo, when he said his lady help him put it on, boy, I fell out, yo, son.
I said, I'm going to charge this to your amazing sense of humor and hope that that didn't really happen. Because I don't want to see it.
He said she had to help him take it off. Take him off. That's what it was.
But on the verses with Ghost and Ray, Ghost Pants was crazy. Ray Pants was crazy too.
You know what it is, man.
But they
old
made it work,
trying
though.
To keep up, man.
Yeah, man. I love Ghost and Ray though, man.
Down with the King.
Watching them dance on stage with each other to the slow record.
Yeah, that shit was hard.
Oh, man.
That was the best verses to me. That was one of the best verses, bro. Because it wasn't a verses. It was just two homies doing their own thing.
I gotta say this. The relationship with Ghost and Ray, Red and Mev.
Yeah.
And I mean, this could be the old man in me, yo. When I see that shit, I just love it, bro.
Yeah.
Just hearing
the
them
brothers
they
doing their thing.
They having fun laughing with each other. Yo, son, you gotta love it, man.
Yeah.
If you don't love it, you don't have a pulse, money.
Yeah, I know y'all gonna chew me up in the comments about that, but them niggas shouldn't have been on that.
Nah, I mean, you right, but you wrong for saying that shit, baby.
Yeah. You didn't expect that one, did you?
Nah, I gotta listen to Run DMC all the way home now.
Yeah. I gotta
rebuild our relationship. I gotta play Run DMC all the way back to the house, man.
You got a long ride, so shit.
Yeah. Management would probably agree with you on that.
See? you make sure you tell her.
Such a cruel hip hop.
You make sure you tell her.
Oh, she is cruel.
You tell management. Tell her what I said.
I think she'll be like, yeah.
All right, yo. Is today's music more disposable or just more? Bro, come on, fam. When I saw this cover, I'm like, come on, we know what it is. And I'm about to be the old nigga. This is disposable rap right now. This is disposable. Are we talking about music in totality, rap, R&B, all that? Or are we just talking about hip-hop?
See, we have a podcast.
Okay.
You can't assume people understand the things that we speak of.
Okay,
That's the point of having the podcast, so we can share our knowledge, our understandings, and our experiences.
Okay, look at you. So
you want to be like, everybody knows that shit. So no, the fuck they don't.
It's a question. Are we talking about all music, hip hop, R&B, pop, all that shit?
You know what's funny about music now? No, we're talking about black music.
Okay,
all
right.
I think all black music is the same at this point when it comes to that kind of a topic.
Right.
Because R&B people are probably just as upset as hip hop fans.
Yeah.
Because ballads. Like, they're not, you know, there's not a lot of ballads anymore.
I don't do that no more.
So a true fan of R&B, they want to hear a good ballad.
Yeah.
Duets.
Nah, not a lot of them.
You see what I'm saying? No, I thought about it when I introduced that question.
Not a lot of them.
I miss duets.
Yeah, duets used to be fire. I even put that online recently. I said, I miss a female-male R&B record. That's dead.
Female R&B groups.
Dead.
See what I'm saying? All of that. You know what I'm saying?
Costs so much money to keep the niggas together. A lot of times it's manufactured anyway.
Well, sometimes the people want to know, why is that?
Yeah. damn. Right now, the best R&B sync, I think.
So what's the problem? Answer the question for the people.
Now that we encapsulating everything.
Get your dictionaries. Encapsulate. We give you a word every episode. Follow me.
Now I'm not. Now after you broke everything down, I'm gonna just say it's more accessible and not disposable.
Okay.
And it's more accessible. It's a lot. It's
sad because
there.
A classic record will get lost within that accessibility.
Yes, it will. You got
classic
artists.
Project can get lost.
Because when you come to R&B, I probably listen to a ton of R&B. I probably listen to more R&B than I listen to hip hop at this moment, because there's not a lot of hip hop that I like to listen to at this moment. Even though there's quite a few projects that dropped, R&B is still shaking and baking. If you listen to, like, you got the Sirs. Sir, his projects, all his projects and singles be fire. Lucky Days, he's fire.
Talented.
Yep. Tiana Taylor, fire. Her, fire. It's quite a few. I can name so many. There's so many artists. Even when you look at
my Tiana Taylor's dope.
Yo, her album is crazy to me.
I think she's dope. I think she has a certain vibe.
it's one young lady that I think she's under Snoop right now, but I spoke of her to you a while ago, and she finally dropped her project under Death Row, Jane Hancock. That project she got under Death Row is phenomenal, but I've listened to all her shit prior to.
Come on, man. You talk about R&B, don't talk about October London?
I don't like October London. I'm going to keep it a buck. I'm not a fan.
What is your problem?
I'm sorry. I'm not a fan.
Oh, yeah.
Is he good? He good. He
you're
good.
Not,
he can he sing?
You're
he can sing.
You're
he can sing. He can sing very well.
You're not invited to the cookout.
That shit is only what's the old artist back in the day?
He had one project dedicated to Marvin Gaye.
Everything he sings sounds like Marvin Gaye. Everything I hear from him, it sounds like Marvin Gaye. I want to hear October London. And for me, because I listen so much music. I want to hear the artists. I want to hear them, especially R&B. You want to, like, when you listen to Jane Hancock.
I'm saying
her.
I know people that have seen October London live. Man.
I've seen them live too. I'm not saying it's not bad. It's cool, but that shit is somebody else. I don't know. I'm not a fan. Just me. But when you come to hip hop,
I was about to call management on you. Saying probably
hip hop is making a change.
What?
Because the projects. They're making conceptual projects now. Before, you was hearing a ton of fucking just singles and songs thrown against the wall.
Because everybody kept saying it's a single-driven industry.
Right.
And everybody ran with it.
And now it's starting to curve. Because even Offset, he dropped a project. It's a conceptual project. It sounds good from top to bottom. It sounds real good. Really? Yeah, it sounds real good.
Oh, yeah?
Production is on point, everything. You got Big X to plug. He did like a country. He's from fucking Texas. It sounds good.
GQ magazine.
And I'm naming these.
That photo shoot though.
That's what he do, bro. He take his shirt off.
Nah, but GQ magazine wrong for that shit, bro. Cut it out. They wrong for that.
You know what I mean? When you get, and then you know, we just bigged up. When we go to artists of yesteryear, we just bigged up Mass Appeal for what they did with Supreme Clientele. What they did with Ray's project, like stuff like that. So it's records, it's projects out there where it's like, okay, it's starting to be a shift in what they're doing when it comes to conceptual projects where the music is like, it's all put together. It's a well put together project. So I'd say it's just accessibility. It's just so much access to music that you just fall out of like, damn, that's kind of dope. That's okay. All right. That's not bad. You know, stuff like that. So that's the hard part, I think. But yeah, man, I'm not the biggest fan of October London, man. Maybe I'll hear something that he do that I'm like, oh, okay, I fuck with this.
Well, that's the beauty. That's the beauty of music. You know what I'm saying? Because your response makes me not even want to counterattack it because you just said you're not a fan of it. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's fine. My biggest problem with critiques of music a lot of times is people will just have so many negative connotations about artists and they can't speak why they feel that way.
Right. That's one thing I'll never
not being a fan of a person's sound. Because it's similar to another great sound, it's right. Actually an honest assessment.
I'll never just totally shit on anyone artistry. You know what I'm saying? I just personally just won't talk about it.
But that,
you
know, that kills the conversation though. That's why I think so too. I hate that, because it's like if I say I don't like something, I can tell you why I don't like it.
Right.
Maybe I'm misinformed and need to listen deeper within the catalog. That could be a
possibility. That could be a possibility. That could be a possibility for me.
Then I might say, yo, let me see then, because you like this guy for some reason. I got to see what you're talking about.
No, I've been listening to Jane Hancock for when the pandemic kicked in. I was first introduced to her.
I'm familiar with him.
And I've been playing her for a very long time. You know, I was doing my radio show. I was playing her music. Her and I would talk via Instagram. She would like different things. She know I'm a supporter. And then when she signed with Snoop, I was one of the ones that sent her a message like, yo,
you like
great
science,
job.
Scientist girl?
I don't like her singing.
Is it Mariah?
Mariah the Scientist. She can rap her ass off. I like her rapping. Her singing, I'm not a fan of.
Really?
Yeah. She can rap her ass off, but her singing, I'm not a fan of.
Interesting.
I get what she was doing with that.
I know nothing about her rapping.
No, her rapping is good. You know what I mean? This the first like little singing project that she did, but her rapping is very, very good.
Okay.
But yeah, her as a rapper, yes. Her as a singer, cool. I can take it or leave it. I'm not going to, you know, press play on it too much.
Damn. Okay.
Is it bad? No, it's not bad.
I get it.
You know what I mean? It's not bad. Right. That's like if Benny the Butcher starts singing. I don't want to hear that shit, my nigga.
Whoa, what are you talking about?
Just rap.
No, I'm going to do that shit.
Yo, Freddie Gibbs album, hip-hop wise, very good. Put together very well. Him and Alchemist. Very well. They put
him
that
and
project.
Him Erykah Badu album got delayed
yeah.
for some reason.
Yeah.
She said it was his fault.
Probably is. He probably got a lot on his plate.
Yeah, what I'm saying. Like, nobody asked you whose fault it was.
Nope.
That's why I don't work with females.
Bro, because they too sporadic with their conversation.
Like, why'd you even say that shit?
You know how that is, man. Let's get right into the topics, man. Wow, let's see what man. We got. Okay, we doing good. Let's get right into a topic. If a man, hold on. I answered that. Did you? You ain't even answered.
What?
That last question about music.
You answered it completely, so I just didn't interject.
Oh, okay.
He was cooking. You know?
Damn.
You don't need two people in the kitchen when you're cooking good food.
Damn, bro. Yo, we got to see. That's why I came here with the fucking Run DMC shit.
You still about to steal my bars.
We were supposed to shit on each other, dog. What are we doing, son? This is too much in agreements. I'm agree with you. This is the fourth podcast where we weren't agreeing with each other. We got to shake this shit up, bro.
I'm growing, and within my growth and evolving, you have to adjust. Because I am not the same person.
I got to adjust to shit, man.
You don't. Then we're going to have at least 10 episodes of agreeable dialogue. Embrace it.
Embrace it.
Yeah. That's what we're doing.
All right. Cool.
It might be Pastor Anderson's fault.
Nah, that ain't the reason.
You know what I mean?
That ain't the reason.
Hey.
Salute to the gods and the earth.
Hey, man. Sometimes the screensaver tells all.
Yo. If a man provides everything financially, should intimacy be a guaranteed part of the deal? Or is that entitlement disguised as love? I'll let you answer start off. Because Erica saw this. She about cussed your ass out. She said, I've never not once disagreed with Trey as much as I disagree with this topic.
Why is it disagreement? Because a lot of men feel like if they're paying the bills, a woman should have sex with them on site.
I get it.
She's taking it as if I'm that person. No. Mm-hmm. I just okay, then how could you, then why would you be mad at the topic?
She just is.
Because like I seen it.
Woman logic.
Because she's still a woman.
Yeah, woman logic.
I've seen it several places. A lot of men feel as if I'm paying all the bills. This is why I always say to my female friends, you need to make your own money and have your own life. Because some men really feel like if they pay all the bills, you should be on call with the sex. And when I was younger, yeah, I probably felt the same way.
A lot more submissive.
Yeah, they expect that. But on another note, if you're really in tune with your lady, you're getting that anyway.
You're right. That was my thing.
You know what I'm saying? That, I mean, within reason, women have health problems, things of that nature, whatever.
Right.
So, but that's from my perspective.
I don't want to have sex every day.
I don't either. But from my mature perspective, nobody really does. It's what some men might kill me on this. For a lot of men, it's more of the dominance and receiving that submission more so than the act of sex itself.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Now, the way I want to have it, I don't need to have it.
I don't need to have that every day. Yep, same thing.
You know what I'm saying? It's more passion involved in it.
Right.
It's more intimacy involved in it.
Yes.
And yes, I'm speaking from my perspective, but I'm the one saying it.
I mean, I agree with that.
You know what I'm saying? So that question is deeper than what the question actually is.
Right.
Now, some men would rather have a woman that doesn't work and make her own money so they can get that submissive environment and have a level of deviance some might label it as.
Right.
But some women are cool with that environment as well.
I always feel like this.
And that's what it does. You have a choice to do what you want to do. You know what I'm saying?
I agree
this is
with
our
that.
Show. We're saying what we feel about it.
I agree with that. I think also this, when you make a woman comfortable within herself, comfortable within the environment that you live in, that you're cultivating, that you're building, that you're working together, she's going to be automatically be overly submissive.
Everybody doesn't want that.
Women are way more sexual than we are as men. They would be happy to be comfortable to give that shit to you if you're making the environment that they are in comfortable. And it's not always financial. It's just a level of peace. I look at myself.
Listen to what you said. Everybody's not going to understand that. You don't have to pay all of the bills to give her that comfort.
Nope, you don't.
See what I'm saying?
What I'm saying.
A woman can have way more money than you and still have that level of comfort.
Yep.
But you have to be comfortable in your skin as a man. Yep. No.
Exactly. And I say, even in my case, in my point, I pay the bigger bills. My wife still pays something. She still pays some bills. My wife is a pervert. She just is. I call her perv all the time. Ooh. She's way more
E nasty,
way more sexual than I am a lot of times. And that's funny.
Calling her E nasty.
And that's funny to me. Like, it's weird because she wasn't like that at the beginning. But you know what? She is so comfortable within herself and so comfortable within our relationship and what we have going on. If I look like I need some, she's already ready.
But don't you think a lot of women are late bloomers? That's why they
I think, but
for some of us, we get burnt out young.
I think a lot of them
get older.
Late,
like now, you want to do all this shit,
right?
Yeah.
I will say yes. Some are late bloomers, but I will also say some have never received a full encompassing man where we are emotionally intelligent. We also, when we have sex with them, we understand that we want to make sure that they receive comfort and a level of intimacy as well. They don't, a lot of times niggas are just, I'm just gonna beat it up. You know, when we was young, we just gonna beat it up. That shit ain't fun,
bro. And it was trash.
Yeah, and it was trash. When you have a level of comfort with you making sure you please that woman and you giving her body is feeling good. Oh my God. Her body is feeling good. She's in tune. When you tweak them in a way, they open the floodgates. The doors are wide open. And now you're like, oh shit, okay. And that's a different, they willing to do whatever and whenever, however you want to do it. You know what I mean? Like, I watched this video online with a young man. The girl was like, they driving in a car. She said, move your hand. Let me suck your dick while we driving. And he moaned. He said, oh. He was like, you did it 5 times already today.
I know.
Bro was tired. When a woman is that level of freaky, that's because she is so fucking comfortable with you.
5 times, bro.
Bro, that's a lot. She is so. Hey,
I don't need that much top in my life.
Hey,
Don't need that much time.
One good time a day, I'm happy. Two good times a day, I'm ecstatic. We ain't got to go no more than that.
Yeah, that's too much
time. And we can skip a day.
That's too much time.
We can skip a day. But
too much time.
But think about it. She is so comfortable. He making her feel so comfortable, so unwind that she is willing to, hey, I ain't got to receive nothing from this. I get the pleasure of doing this to you. That pleases me just as much as it pleasing you.
Yeah.
That's when you know shorty's off the chain. When she get off from topping you off, just from topping you off, she's a winner-winner chicken dinner.
This nigga said chicken dinner.
Well, you know, you're vegan, so vegan chicken dinner.
Okay.
Just, you know, try to make sure it's all, you know, all inclusive.
Yeah, I'll feel you.
We don't leave nobody left behind. I think the biggest part of that whole topic is the disguise as love piece. I think that's the part that's like probably the throw off, because I don't know if it's disguised as love. It just,
well, within questions, you can't always insert yourself within the question
in order
to answer the question.
That's true.
See, that becomes the problem within dialogue.
But I think that's
if you're inserting self,
right,
then your perspective comes out. But that has nothing to do with the totality of the question.
I get it. You are correct. But I think we do ourselves a disservice by not inserting ourselves, because that's all we know.
You can insert yourself without acting like you're the totality of the answer.
Okay, there we go. All right.
You yourself are not the definitive answer, nor am I.
Right.
Because how we see it isn't the same way we saw it 30 years ago either.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's shit.
Maybe 10 years ago.
I was just about to say 10 years ago.
Okay. I'll try to give it a couple decades.
Now I get you. All right, then. So what's the line between supporting your partner and losing yourself?
Is there a line? That balance is major, bro.
That's different, bro.
You know, even as, you know, my recent situation,
mm-hmm.
you know, I lost that balance because
right.
I lost myself within trying to keep my parents comfortable.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I was able to, I say, rediscover myself with the assistance.
Right.
You know, my surroundings that actually didn't see it either.
Right.
But they noticed it at around the time I noticed it. And it can easily happen. You know what I'm saying? It could easily happen. You know, and sometimes you don't even realize it. And, like, even if you're married, your wife can be losing herself for you and the kids.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Not even knowing
that you're doing that, yeah.
Some people, it's an obsession.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I've met women in my life that are obsessed with helping people.
Yeah.
To where they can't even accept being helped.
Mm-hmm.
But they're a very deprived person with a battered soul that they have to feed themselves by helping people.
Right.
Which isn't healthy.
Not at all.
You know what I'm saying? They get strength by helping people. So they're always looking for, like, dogs at the pet shelter kind of thing.
Right,
you know,
right.
You always
right.
have to build somebody up. And the problem with that is a woman like that, as soon as they build you up, there's nothing left.
Nah.
Now your relationship is toxic. And you don't even realize what's going on. You're like, man, my woman tripping. Yeah, because she just has to build up somebody. And there's probably some men like that too. You see them, every woman they deal with is a fixer-upper. They always have to build people up. You know what I'm saying? So,
I mean, you're not wrong. You know? You're not wrong at all. You're not wrong.
But within relationships, to go directly to the question, I went off a little bit. There is a thin line, but a lot of times you don't see it. And as a couple that are in tune with each other, it's like you have to be careful with each other to make sure each other has that time to replenish themselves. You know what I'm saying? Like whatever your wife enjoys,
right.
She needs that time to replenish herself. Just as, I don't know what a woman thinks. With men, you know, we replenish ourselves sometimes for a fight night.
Or, yeah, yeah.
Hell, sometimes
just stepping away.
The pride can be replenishing.
I know it is for me.
You know, every once in a while, we'll have real conversations on the phone.
Right.
Those are replenishing.
Yeah.
I went to the Central football game yesterday. I was replenishing.
See?
For me, the studio is replenishing. But there's still nothing better than fellowship with your peers.
Peers, yep, I agree.
You know, nothing compares to that. We can act like whatever. Let's keep it a band. I can say this. I will say this.
Uh-huh.
After the funeral, when we had food, my partners left, but my one partner stayed. And I told him today. Matter of fact, I was talking when I came. I told him today. I said, bro, the fact that you stayed the extra 20, 30 minutes, I said, yo, that shit meant so much to me, bro. I said, I just had to at least tell you that.
this one time. And he was like, nah, bro, whatever. I said, yo, I know it meant nothing as far as you doing it. It wasn't no major sacrifice for you. But yo, that shit hit hard because everybody peeled and you didn't even budge. Like, you sat back down and we was able to have our talk. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll give you another example.
Right.
After we shot the video, you stayed. I think Ski stayed.
Yeah, Ski stayed too. We all sat out there and talked for a minute.
Yeah, we had that last chop.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? We had the benediction.
We did.
You know what I mean? But there's power in that.
No, it is.
And this is old me talking as well, but still, I'm communicating. I hope everyone is in that space. That benediction is power, you know, when you stay and you have that last final conversation. You know what I'm saying? And it's power in that, man. You know what I mean? It's dope to experience that.
No, it is. It definitely is. I don't have much to say on that. I just had to throw that in there. As someone that lost themselves at one point, trying to help everybody, trying to do for others, and then even within my family, just doing everything for the family and nothing for myself, I think I've now found a healthy balance in that.
I like that.
It took some time, but I now have a healthy balance in that.
It's work.
It's definitely work, man. Y'all, it's not much left, man, on this tip. You got anything you want to end us off with?
Oh, well, you know, as I sit with everything I've just shared on the podcast in the last couple weeks, is going to be the last time I speak of it because my father did pass, and I funeralized my father. My podcast brother and his wife came to the wake, which was dope. Can't downplay that. People take the time to come through and just be a support system. But with Thorn, within this, we all mourn, we all grieve different. Mm-hmm. We all process information different. But I've learned through this experience, it's also made me a stronger person. And I believe it's made me a better person within certain things that might have tore others down. Because I was able to develop a stronger relationship with my dad within these years of struggle. And he's revealed things to me within this time that I don't even realize. I don't think he realized he revealed to me. But, you know, we had some true moments that also put me in a position to build with the strength I had within myself that I didn't know I had. And I also realized I lost that balance within my life, within that process. And I see that as a positive because it reveals some truths about myself and my own surroundings. So I say this, I say to everyone, man, try not to lose that balance in life, even when you are helping others, man, because you're no good to other people without you being 100% of yourself. And within helping my dad, I lost other things that were very important to me, but I've been blessed to have the opportunity to recover those things. And we all don't have the opportunities to recover certain things. And when you have the opportunity to recover those things, yo, cherish those things, man. We can't speak no more about how important relationships are, whether platonic or romantic. We need those.
Yes.
We need those things that replenish us. We need those things that uplift us. We need those things to enlighten us.
Yes. That's a fact.
Most definitely.
That's a fucking fact. Well, everybody, hope you enjoy, man. This is the Black Male Podcast. TS is who I am.
Trick Dot is who I am. Love Mad is the brand.
Still is, huh? I like that. Check us out next week.
Yo.
Peace.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.